You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. In recent years, it seems we've heard a lot more reports of law enforcement cracking down on human trafficking. In Michigan, a researcher says finding victims of human trafficking is different than finding help for those victims. Jessica Lowen is a PhD candidate in the Department of Anthropology at the University of Michigan, and she joins us now. And with us on the line is Dina Policicchio. She's Director of Outreach and Education for Alternatives for Girls, a nonprofit in Detroit which serves homeless and high-risk girls and young women. Let's start with the basics. Jessica, how do you determine if someone is a victim of human trafficking?
That really varies. The TVPA, which is the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which was first passed in 2000 and then reauthorized multiple times by the U.S. federal government since then, does outline specific guidelines for what constitutes a victim of trafficking and who is a victim. So it's defined by the crime. So there are multiple elements of the crime. There's force, fraud, and coercion. It has to do with taking advantage of people, forcing them. There's an element of deceit that's happening for the purposes of exploiting their labor in some way, or with sex trafficking victims, for forcing them to transact sexual services. And then certainly any minors who are involved in any kind of transactional sex are going to be automatically counted as trafficking victims.
Dina, in your group's experience, how common is human trafficking?
Well, I would say that varies across the Southeast Michigan landscape, but I think it is an issue that's been with us for a very long time and is more prevalent than we think, but not in the ways we're hearing its high prevalency. And by that, I mean it's more prevalent in high poverty and high vulnerable populations, but not so much in suburban areas of malls and shopping centers.
Without using names, can you give me a couple of example stories of girls or young women you've been able to help?
Sure. And I'll just say this, Alternatives for Girls serves girls and women who have been victims of trafficking and those who are at risk for it. We are not a trafficking-specific organization. And so we've served individuals along that continuum, girls who are about to be trafficked, girls who were trafficked, women who were trafficked at one time and are trying to recover from it. But one story that always haunts me is really just about the vulnerability of young people whose families discard of them, and that's a harsh word, but that's exactly what happens. And she was standing outside at a bus stop waiting. She had just gone into a shelter the night before because her family member had died, and so she was looking for a job. She was going to go find a job, and a man pulled up, and he just said to her, "You're too pretty to be standing here. Can I give you a ride to the bus depot?" Because it was raining, and he wanted to take her there. And sure enough, he gave her that ride. He said, "Let me buy you a meal." And he sat down and he asked her all the right questions. He asked her about why she was there, what was going on in her life. And she talked about a little sister who she loved and that, you know, was being cared for by a family member. And this little sister became his means of exploiting her. He held that over her head. "If I got you, do you think I can get her? I'll kill her, I'll rape her, I'll sell her." And for years, this young woman became first his prostituting victim, and then he used her to recruit other girls and actually abuse other girls later on. If not for a very wise and compassionate prosecuting attorney, she would have been in jail as a pimp because all the girls identified her as the primary recruiter. But when this prosecutor looked at her and said, "Oh my goodness, you're actually a victim too," and took the care and time, and she wound up in our one-of-a-kind program that helps people get out of the industry. We watched her blossom. She went to college. She has a job. She has a family now. And that's what it takes. It takes a sort of cultural mind shift of looking at people as prostitutes, as perpetrators of crime, and recognize that not everybody who sells themselves is doing it by choice, that the force behind it can be crippling and prevent you from doing anything else in your life.
When you help them, you assist them in finding resources. What kind of gaps are there in the system as far as, you know, identifying people who can help?
Gaps that exist would be funding for long-term mental health care. This is not something that you heal from overnight. Especially take that young woman's story that I just shared. She was traumatized for over 6 years, beaten, raped, manipulated. She had to perpetrate violence against other girls. That mental health trauma against her is not something that you can cure in 30 to 90 days. It's something that takes a long time, and recognizing that long-term care. Other service gaps would not just be for girls and women. Boys and men are sexually exploited as well, and there aren't the same amount of services for them because it's not the same kind of focus on them. And then lastly, it's a long-term advocacy around jobs. People don't like to hire individuals with criminal histories. Either we change the laws to make sure that these women and girls, men and boys, get jobs later on, or we change the cultural mindset of hiring people with criminal histories and recognizing you may have been forced through circumstances or actual physical or psychological force and need a new opportunity to do a different thing, to be a positive member of society.
Jessica, you're working to identify more resources, services, help for these human trafficking victims. What are you doing to come up with a more comprehensive list of services?
Well, one thing, Lester, that I have been doing is to collect contact information for various organizations that are involved in anti-trafficking efforts in the state of Michigan. And I've been able to do that by leveraging contacts that I've made over the last few years of doing ethnographic research among anti-trafficking activists in the Detroit area specifically. People really want to find out what's out there. There are lots of problems for people. They report not being able to refer individuals to mental health services, to rehab services, and there are lots of gaps in that way. So what I've been doing is building off of those referral lists and finding new organizations that potentially provide services that would be helpful to human trafficking victims. In the last month, I've been running the Michigan Human Trafficking Resource Survey, and we've distributed to about 300 contacts throughout the state of Michigan. We're hoping to get many more people to respond. The target audience for that is health and human service providers, advocates, survivor groups, nonprofit organizations, churches, lots of stakeholders who are involved in offering services to assist.
So there's not a comprehensive list now? I mean, nobody's compiled the list?
No.
Why hasn't that happened?
When I first started this project a few years ago, people began to approach me because they heard I was just keeping a list for my own record. I'd meet multiple people. I was interested in what they were doing, and I had this Excel spreadsheet. People would ask, oh, would you share that with me? I need to have that information. I don't know where to send people. And lots of these organizations, like Dina can tell you, maintain their own referral lists. Referral lists get outdated. There's so many new groups that are popping up. And after the third time of being asked for this list, I finally heard people's requests that there wasn't a sense of what was going on in the state of Michigan. We just really don't know how many groups are out there providing services, where services are being provided, for whom, how people are accessing them. So I believe there's been a few efforts in the past to try to collect this information, but they really haven't gone anywhere. So I finally just said, all right, I'm going to do it.
So this online survey is up now.
It is. It is.
We'll put the website on our website.
Thank you.
You can find it there. I want to ask you about the time you spent in the field in your research, trying to identify victims of human trafficking. Where does that take you?
I shadow outreach, so sites where sex is sold in Detroit. So there are some street-based situations. There are areas in Detroit that are known for a high frequency of prostitution. Also, adult entertainment venues, often referred to as strip clubs, and going with people who are trying to intervene in those situations and watching them work, working with them, really getting to see the way that they're able to build connections with people that work there. I've learned a lot. It's been pretty amazing. It's an incredible group of people, the kind of individuals that spend their time in their evenings going out into situations to build connections with people, not for the purposes of telling them what they're doing is wrong, but to tell them, listen to them, invite them to leave. Alternatives for Girls also does great outreach, and they are connecting with people that provide people with referral information and harm reduction services.
How successful are those attempts to reach out to those victims? I mean, do you get a small fraction, or are you fairly successful?
Well, I guess I would just say that's a complicated question in how you define success. But to your point, it is a small percentage. Most activities, they're illegal, so they're hidden. And so even the best outreach efforts can't always reach the most vulnerable moments and situations. But to the individuals we're able to reach, success is very agreed. I feel it's a success when somebody doesn't walk away and actually stands and listens and talks to you. Some people don't define success until that person is no longer exchanging sex, but that's a very simplistic way of looking at it, because if somebody just really does not love herself or indeed is being forced to do something beyond her control, you can't just define success as being able to leave. You have to define success as that she is, one, able to conceptualize that she is deserving of doing something else, and two, able to conceptualize and actualize the doing of something else. Because if there's force involved, either emotional or physical, that may be actually impossible in a lot of ways to do without jeopardizing her own life or the lives of others.
That's Dina Policicchio with Alternatives for Girls, which helps homeless and high-risk girls and young women. And we've been talking to Jessica Lowen. She's coordinating the Michigan Human Trafficking Resource Survey in an effort to create a comprehensive list of organizations and services to help victims of human trafficking. We will have that website on our website, michiganradio.org. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Lester.